Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I am calling to you live this week from wonderful Arlington Heights, Illinois, where we are expecting a winter storm like you would not believe. And I have my wonderful friend and co-host Rhonda Del Baccio on the air with us today. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Oh, I am so grateful for heating, for indoor plumbing, and for having a roof over my head today. Ah. Ice is falling from the sky. It is no fun.
Well, I've been watching the Weather Channel this morning going, oh, I hope Rhonda is okay. But have you heard what they are saying is in store for Chicago tonight, tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. My aunt, who is from Chicago, is down here, and she says, well, this isn't much fun, but it's sure better than Chicago. My dad says they're expecting 1 to 2 feet. He still lives up there. Thankfully, he lives in a
great No. 1 to 2 feet is nothing. That is not the bad part. The bad part is that they are saying we should expect 8 to 10 feet snow drifts because of the high winds. And that as a result of the wind, that the waves on Lake Michigan shores will exceed 25 feet. Now, that's the kind of waves you get in Hawaii, not on Lake Michigan. We've had we have an inland coastal flood warning. They're saying that Lake Michigan could flood up to 2 miles inland. Can you imagine?
What? I've never heard of such a thing. No, I did not have the Weather Channel on this morning. Clearly, thank goodness. No, oh, my gosh. Glad my dad lives out in the suburbs. But, geez, that is nuts.
I know.
Wow.
I mean, I'm in the suburbs, too. But this is just... It's not like any storm we've ever seen. As of about 9 a.m. this morning, the weather stuff started beeping, and they started saying that we should be prepared for power outages lasting 8 to 10 days as a result of this storm.
Yeah. Well, we may have some of that, too. If I suddenly disappear, you'll know why, but... We're getting so much ice on our lines, and we're very much rural out here. But my goodness, that it's really going to be a mess up by where you're at. Whew.
Yeah, sure sounds like it. Sure sounds like it. I had Bill go buy another inverter for the car, so that worst case scenario, we could go out into the car and plug our computers and phones into charge and that kind of thing. Because I'm not quite sure what else we can do to get online.
Right.
So my parents' entire street, I'm still at their house. This entire street is all electric. There are no gas lines for 3 blocks. Well, they're saying temperatures will be below 40 to 50 below with the wind chill. And if you only have all electric, that's going to be mighty cold. We'll be sleeping in the car, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I have electric. My mom's house, they have a generator. It's funny the different things you think about. I even called my dad and I said, does your complex have a generator, a backup? And he says, I have no idea. And I said, well, you might want to find out.
Yeah, I mean, actually thought about finding a motorhome to rent for the last couple of days, but I couldn't find one. And I was thinking at least it would have a generator so we could at least have some, you know, heat. So we'll see what ends up happening. It should be fun.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, it's just amazing how this is affecting so many states. I mean, my weather radio has been going off like crazy, and yours obviously too, and so many states and so many people are affected. For anybody who's listening, check on if you've got people affected in these storms, especially if they're living alone or they're older or they have a disability or they have small kids or whatever. I mean, check on your people and make sure that everybody's okay. And,
I mean, as far south as Dallas, Texas, they're getting snow. Amarillo, Texas, an hour ago, hit -1 without the wind chill. Now, Amarillo, Texas is not equipped to handle those kinds of temperatures.
No. No, a lot of the people probably don't even have winter coats.
I would expect not. They might have a lightweight winter coat, but certainly not something that can handle -1 without the wind chill.
Right.
So
we've
got about another hour before the Cook and Lake County, Illinois areas have been ordered to completely get off the streets. And if you're, and it's not snowing right this minute, so I'm surprised that it goes into effect that early. But they're saying that all of the streets in Cook and Lake County will be closed for the next 24 to 36 hours minimum, starting at noon today. And if you're found on the streets beyond noon, they will both ticket you, and in some cases, they will incarcerate you. So it is not worth a $1,000 fine for violating the orders.
No, and
state of emergency, they say.
That is nuts. I've never heard of them closing the streets down in my whole life.
I can't remember it ever happening myself, but that's what they were saying all day.
I mean, there have been snowstorms, certainly. A big one in 79, but as far as I know, I don't remember them saying you couldn't be on the roads at all. It's not, certainly in some cases, not a bad idea, especially with what you're seeing near the lakeshore and everything, but goodness sakes.
And it hasn't started. I mean, we had snow last night. We had a couple inches, nothing major. But the snow is not coming down right now, so for them to close things that far in advance, that's, like, just unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be an interesting couple of days for our listeners. Wherever you happen to be, if you are in the U.S., you are likely to have been affected by this storm, and we just hope that you're staying warm and staying dry and staying out of the areas that they're telling you not to go near.
Yeah, no kidding. And believe me, if they say not to go somewhere or whatever, don't mess with that. You know, they're always after big, like, hurricanes, and there's always some schlep who decides they don't, that the laws and the rules don't apply to them, and they get caught in something. So don't be like that. This is a, you know, quite a storm, and don't mess with it.
Yeah, it's not worth risking your life over for anything.
No, that is definitely for sure.
Yeah.
So
what are we going to be talking about today, Rhonda?
Well, today is the last in our current series where we're bringing in some different clips from people. And it's interesting that the weather is doing what the weather is doing on a day of this particular topic, which is about the road of trials.
It is very interesting that happens today, huh?
Interesting timing. And I was thinking this morning when I got up, I was thinking of a time when I was helping somebody with their book launch, and we were having an ice storm. The power went out early in the day, and I had charged up my laptop, but I was trying to be online as little as possible because I didn't know how many days it might be before our power would be back and that kind of stuff. And so it was real interesting. But today, in talking about the road of trials, now here is how this fits into the sequence of what we've been doing so far in 2011. As we started off by talking about basically building your vision for your life, making things happen, dreaming and starting to get a plan for that dream so that it doesn't become just some airy-fairy far-off thing, but actually something that can happen for you. And along the way of that dream coming true, that for yourself that you're going to create, as I'm sure everybody knows, everything isn't going to be all light and sunshine, right?
Yeah,
there's going to be
things
in your way, like big, huge storms that could knock the power for days. There can be big things that don't happen often, like this big wave thing with Lake Michigan, 25-foot waves, and in the middle of winter with the storm and the drifts and the snow and everything else. There are going to be naysayers in your life as well. There are going to be people, sometimes they think they're doing it out of love, and sometimes they're just not so much. But there are going to be those people and those situations who come up and seem to get in the way of you making your dream happen, right? And that's just a part of it. And so today what we're doing is talking a little bit about the hero's journey, and particularly the road of trials, as it relates to you making your dreams happen, sharing some of our own stories and experiences, and we'll be pulling in some clips from a couple of really significant moments on our past shows that definitely stick out in my mind as far as how dedicated are you really to your dreams and what that road of trials is all about.
Wow, you did a great job of recapping that for us, Rhonda. Thanks.
Well, thank you. So anyway, that's the types of things, that's where we're going today and how it fits into the rest of the sequence. And then coming up in the coming weeks, we have people like next week, we have Ellen Violette, who is an expert on ebooks, and so she will be here. The following week, we have a soft sell marketing expert named Betty Walker. In fact, I was one of the people she interviewed and included in a product that she created, and so we'll be back into those things. But I think it's really important every so often to kind of get your bearings, set your compass in the right direction, and then continue to move forward.
And the beginning of the year is always a perfect time to do that, isn't it? Out with the old,
yeah, it really is. It's just a great time because your brain is already set for a new beginning because it's a brand new year. You've got to write the new year, remember that's the new year starting and everything, so it's perfect.
It really is. And let's start off by talking about those naysayers that are in your life when you go to do that at the beginning of the year. That's always so frustrating, isn't it, Rhonda?
Well, it sure can be, and it's usually the reason it's so frustrating. If it was people that you didn't know, or that they were just acquaintances, or you didn't really care about their opinion, it wouldn't be so bad. But it's the people who are close to you. It could be your spouse, your parent. It could be your best friend. It could be a good friend you've known for years, or a good neighbor, or whatever, somebody that you have emotional investment in each other. And a lot of times that's where the naysayers come from. And so that's, you know, a really good place to start because everybody is going to have them. And so what can happen, if you don't watch it, is that you can let that make you have doubt and cause you to, well, maybe this dream isn't really such a good thing. Maybe I shouldn't build the business. Maybe this is totally stupid. Maybe I am nuts, you know, whatever, and it can cause you to doubt yourself in your vision and your dream if you allow it to do that, right?
Well, and even if you tell yourself, I'm not going to let that negative person affect me, they can think what they want, but I'm going to do it anyway. Many times, even though your conscious mind is wanting to block that person out, if you're constantly getting bombarded by what they're putting out there that is really putting down what you really want or how you're doing it or who you are, it will affect you even though you don't want it to. And
it
that's
definitely
always the
can
really bad
and
side.
Hello, Trippy. Shh, Trippy. Yes, loud kitty. the cat naysayer here.
No, she's just agreeing, yeah. Rhonda.
She's definitely agreeing. Meow. My cats are both like 5 pounds, and they're so vocal. My mother's cats are 15-pound cats, and they go, you know, little tiny voices. It's very funny. But you will have naysayers. They will be loud. They will be in your face. And they will be even, and you're so right that even if you say, no, well, I don't care what they say. I'm going to do it anyway. But then there's still this little niggling in the back of your mind because they're still putting out a vibe and you can still be affected by it.
Yeah, and you know, I think I mentioned this earlier this month, but it bears repeating. There was a very interesting study done on the effects of happiness. And what they showed was after studying 60,000 people, they came to the recognition that even if you don't know the naysayers, but the naysayers are people who are known to your friends or the friends of your friends, their negativity can still cause you to fail. And that's really blown me away since I read that study because there is scientific proof that that is really the way things work. And so if you can imagine that the people you don't know can affect the outcome in your life, imagine how much more the people you do know can make that outcome be not so good.
Yeah, and that's definitely true. You know, it's I love that's really interesting. Do you have a GGG link to that study by any chance?
Say that again.
Do you have an Ask GGG link for that study?
I actually think I do. Let me see if I can go find it for us.
Very good, because I think that would be interesting for everybody to read. The bottom line is that everybody is connected, and that's not woo-woo, new age, airy-fairy, whatever, you know, weirdness, craziness or whatever. It really is true that we are all connected. And so people around you who are your friends or your contacts are people who have an influence over you, and then you are then affected by the people that have an influence over them. That's what you're saying is happening with the study.
Precisely.
And it's very interesting.
I can find this real quick.
Yeah. So we'll get that for you in a second. But the significant thing about that is it makes you go, okay, so now here is what's happening. How are you going to stay true to your course? And it really highlights even more, as we always do, the power of your own mindset and what you are personally going to be able to do to cleanse, to keep yourself clear.
Here it is, askggg.com/happiness. Let me read this to you. That's the intriguing conclusion from a body of work by Harvard social scientist Dr. Nicholas Christakis and his political science colleague James Fowler at the University of California at San Diego. The pair created a sensation when their announcement earlier this month, and this was about a year ago, of a 20-year study showing that emotions can pass among a network of people up to 3 degrees of separation away. So your joy may, to a larger extent than you realize, be determined by how cheerful your friends are, even if some of the people in this chain are total strangers to you. If that's so, it creates a whole new paradigm for the way people get sick and, more important, how to get them healthy. It may mean that an individual's well-being is the product not just of his own behaviors and emotions, but more of the way they feed into a larger social network. Think of it as health Facebook style. We have a collective identity as a population that transcends individual identity, says Christakis. This superorganism has an anatomy, physiology, structure, and function that we are trying to understand. Isn't that unbelievable?
You know, yeah, I mean, yes, it is in a way. I love how they actually have proven this because the thing is there's things that we may know emotionally and spiritually or whatever, but to then have proof to say for the rational mind, see, this stuff is right. This is actually true. This actually happens. That's amazing. And I didn't realize that it would have gone to the third degree of separation. That's just really interesting. Not just
even
your friends,
if you don't know the people.
Yeah. I mean, that part is just wild. You don't have to know them to be affected by that energetic field or by that thing that's happening. Just very, very interesting.
And that
wow.
just really says so much about the fact that you really do need to choose who you're allowing into your life carefully. Because who
right.
they choose to allow into their life will also affect you.
Yep, that is definitely true, who they choose to allow in their life. So you can be as positive as you want. You can even have a friend who is a positive and upbeat person, but if that person's influencers have a lot of negativity, it can still affect you.
Yeah.
So people may be
what
wondering,
does that all mean, Rhonda?
Yeah, and then people may be wondering or feeling, well, does that mean that I just can't ever be in anything that's negative? Do I have to be afraid of it? That's the type of thing people may be wondering. And so
they may be thinking, maybe I should just throw in the towel right now. I'm screwed any way you look at it.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the other thing is they may go, yeah, there's just no way around this. There's going to be negativity around. There's nothing I can do about it. I can be as positive as I want, but in the end it doesn't matter. So forget it. Chuck it all. And that's certainly one way to react. However, obviously that's not what we're going to recommend at all, that you can know that that's there and know that that's happening. And if this one of the great things about knowing that this study exists is it can simply make you aware that since this does happen, you need to be even more vigilant and you need to make sure to do everything you can within your own power, yes, to choose your contacts well, but also to construct your entire environment for your good and for your betterment, including
absolutely.
Not only people, the colors, the foods you eat, the activities that you do, the way that you personally interact with people, your own thoughts, and to be aware of those things. I think the biggest issue that can get in people's way is the lack of awareness. And just kind of blah your way through life, that always gets people into trouble, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So how do you deal with the naysayers in your life and in your friends' lives, Rhonda?
Well, for me, is you really have to decide how important is this to you, whatever it is that you're pursuing. And there's a clip that I'm going to play here very shortly. One of our guests who was on in November of 2010, Gina, this is when you were in meetings and I was out at after the event in Atlanta. And so I talked to him, and his was such an amazing show. Now, Bob Krantz definitely had some naysayers in his life. He is the person who produced the wonderful movie Do You Want to Dance, which you'll find over at asktsl.com/dance. And he also has a best-selling book that at the time it was just out. Now it had been on the bestseller list at both Amazon and Barnes & Noble for 4 weeks. And the book is called Falling in Love with Sophia. So when he was putting his movie together, he had a lot of different things happen. And people that told him he was nuts to go after this particular dream, especially because in the middle of it, he found out that his wife was not only pregnant with triplets, but that it was a tough pregnancy. She was put on total bed rest in the middle of her pregnancy, right when he's going after funding. So guess who his biggest naysayers were at the time? The in-laws.
Oh.
The in-laws.
And that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough one. It's not that they loved him, but they're going, you know, you're doing this really risky thing here, and here is our daughter is pregnant with triplets, and you don't have a real job.
Yeah.
So just imagine the amount of tension that was. So that question of what do you do when these things happen you know, first of all, you really have to decide, are you going to let things cause you to give up, or are you going to stay true to your course? And as we all know, and Gina, certainly some of your experiences, there are people who might have gone through some of these issues with the motorhome and all this other stuff and said, you know, forget it, it's just not worth all of this, and they might have chosen to give up, and you didn't. So I'm sure that you probably had at least some naysayers around you.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Because no matter how much you try to have positive people in your life, sometimes when things get really rough, that's when the doubts really come out of the woodwork, don't they?
They really do. And, you know, over the last 6 years of my living my life as a full-time RVer, I can't tell you how many people have told me that I was crazy, that that's not a way of life, that I'm being unrealistic, I'm, you know, looking at life through rose-colored glasses, come back down to reality, all these other things. I'm trailer trash. And then there's the whole other side of it where people think that I live a dream life and they want to live this life too. I've got both that have come into my life in the last 6 years. And it really comes down to your reality is what you make it or what you allow it to be. And it's up to you. You can't change other people. You can only change yourself, what you believe, who you are, and your perception will really cause your reality. So many times it's a matter of changing your perception, but you really have to learn to not just block out the naysayers, but really go to another level to shield yourself from the effects of people you don't even know being able to impact your happiness and your outcome. And we'll listen to the Bob Kranz clips on that, and then I'll share a little exercise that my doctor shared with me several years ago that has made a world of difference for me.
That'll be great. Hey, before we do that clip, though, one thing that comes to mind, this past weekend I was watching the U.S. National Figure Skating Championships. The woman who took the gold medal, she is somebody that has, her name's Alyssa Cisney, and she is somebody who has struggled with mindset issues in the past. Somebody who has tremendous skill, great coaches, great training, you know, would seem to have all those things going for her, is a previous national championship. It was in 2009. And then in the 2010 season, just you wouldn't have even hardly recognized that it was the same skater because it was mindset stuff. So when she came out onto the ice this year for the championship, I was really excited to see the difference because from the moment that she took the ice, you could see she was doing exactly what you had said. And she was really in her zone, in her power. She wasn't thinking about her jumps. She wasn't thinking about her competitors. She wasn't thinking about the crowds. She wasn't thinking about what was at stake. She wasn't thinking about the championship even. She was simply being in the moment and being with herself and with her own power. How do I know that? You could tell by looking at her and the way that she took that ice.
Wow. So, wish I would have had a chance to see that. That's always really cool to see.
Well, if you go, I'll make a redirect for it. So if you go to profitablestorytelling.com/skating, profitablestorytelling.com/skating. I posted about that on my blog, and I'll make sure that you can see that particular clip as well as the other things I wrote about that.
Oh, thanks, Rhonda.
So, now I want to bring us back to Bob Kranz and what he had to say about the naysayers in his life.
But anyway, not to follow all of that, but to truly build strategically from a place of heart, from a place of purpose, that's what you did with the movie. You found the funding. You scrambled. I mean, you know, and just like so many people, you're off making the movie going, I wonder how we're going to get this thing funded. And you come home, and oh, look, here's another person who's willing to put in. So you find little by little that you get to build it. So,
you know, here to point to what you were just talking about, that what happened when we finished the film, we screened it for the studios, and it was for Columbia and Paramount, for everyone that was interested in the movie. And then the night we screened the film, there were 600 people there, and this was it. This was like the night of my life. And
right.
What happened about 10 minutes into the movie, the sound started going out, and no one knew what in the world was happening. And what happened was I ran up into the booth. The light bulb that projects through the film was burning out, and there's nothing we can do about it. And it was like seeing my life flash in front of me, because we had everything.
My gosh.
Everything was on the line. We had, I'd moved in. I just got married. I'd moved in with my mom. We had put every penny into this movie, and in
right.
1 hour, it just went down the drain. And the studios thought that it was made poorly because the sound kept going in and out. They eventually
okay.
switched the light bulb on the fly, but half the movie was over. And at one point after that, everyone started passing on it. And there was one company that called us up and said, we're thinking about it. And I remember praying at the time, saying, God, if they pass on it, I got to move on, because I put so much of my life into this. And
right.
they ended up saying yes, and they took it to Cannes. And
mm-hmm.
they ended up buying the foreign rights to it. And then they came back to America, and they said, okay, we're going to package this with a Val Kilmer and a Julie Roberts film and all this, and we're going to give it to Columbia. And this is what I was going to point to, what you were just talking about. My wife, I found out when we got back from Cannes, was pregnant with triplets. So
goodness.
We had no money. I had three kids on the way. I was living with my mom. We were actually in debt. And they were offering me to take my film to Columbia. And I called my friend Peter Nelson over there at the time. And I said, Peter, what are you guys going to do with this? He said, listen, we want these other films, and they're packaging it with yours. And we're going to come over here. We're not going to sell a whole lot of these things, but it'll look cool, and that's about it. And that's when I made a decision in my life that changed my life. I talked to my wife, and she was on complete bed rest. Had to gain 60 pounds, so, you know, we're having this conversation. I said, I think I should start my own company and distribute this myself. And everybody said to me, are you nuts? You've got to
right.
be crazy.
Of course.
Who are you going to sell this to? And by the way, there was no internet at that time. It was just starting to take off. And
right.
I just, something told me, stick to your guns. And there was somebody had some type of event, and they invited me to, and they said, bring your movie. I said, but no one knows who I am. And I filled it with 20 videos that night. We sold it. And we got, it was like $400, which felt like $1 million to us. And I thought, you know what?
Exactly.
If I fail, at least I'm going to fail on my own ground. I don't want to be calling Columbia every 20 minutes and, hey, do we sell anymore? What are you going to do? This way I can control my destiny, so to speak. And we then grew from that to now we send out about 325,000 catalogs a year. We were able to purchase our own buildings for our company. But it started with that decision, which was made in, you know, at the lowest point, but that was the beginning of what turned everything around. So when we're talking about business, believe me, what I do every day is related to business, because you have marketing. You have to understand so much about what you're selling, how you're selling it, and if you don't, you will lose.
Right, and you're definitely in business. You know, we just hadn't been talking about that piece of it yet, but, you know, yeah, I mean, obviously, and especially with having your own company, doing your own distribution. And so we talk all the time here about building business through relationships. And so here you are, and in the whole world, you know, talk about really just having the courage to go for it, because everyone's telling you that you're nuts. You know that you have three babies on the way and everything else.
Yeah.
And you're going for it, you know, right? So
yeah.
you're into every logical person would probably tell you if they were not tied into purpose and dreams, they would say, listen, dude, get a job, okay? A job, you get insurance. Hello, you're going to have three babies.
Yeah,
you know,
no
whatever.
Question. Starting with my in-laws.
And, Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, especially if it's our daughter you're talking about. You're supposed to take care of her right now. But they were just completely going crazy.
Oh, yeah, and I didn't blame them either. I'd be the same way. They think they were looking at me going, I remember he just said to me, okay, you sell it to your 12 friends. Then what are you going to do, you know? And I remember thinking, yeah, what am I going to do then? But, you know, I remember what happened, which made me convinced I was doing the right thing. We screened the film at a theater in Chicago, and none of those people knew me, knew who I was. And at the end, we got a standing ovation, and they didn't know I was there. And I stood up at the end, and I introduced myself, and I said to them, if I had this on video, would you buy it? And everyone raised their hand, wrote down their name and address. That's how my company began. I just went, okay, you know what? Those people didn't know me. They didn't have to be nice to me. They could have just left the theater, and I thought, this movie is speaking to them. And then we just got tons of email and letters from people saying how much this movie affected them. And similarly, you know, the book you mentioned that we're coming out with this week, Falling in Love with Sophia, gotten the same kind of response. So I know when you've got a product that affects people and really moves people, mm-hmm. It's a rare thing. It doesn't happen a whole lot. And it usually happens.
That was a great piece of that interview with Bob. And there is even another one that's even deeper and more hard-hitting. But, Gina, you mentioned an activity, an exercise that people can do that your doctors gave you.
Yeah, this is really kind of cool. A couple years ago, my doctor, Dr. Joel Ying, out of Naples, his website is joyhealthwellness.com. joyhealthwellness.com. He and I were having a conversation just before I was getting ready to go to an event. And at the event, I knew I was going to be seeing someone who was one of those people that could push my buttons. And I'm sure all of you have used the phrase, oh, he pushes my buttons at one time or another. You know what I mean, right, Rhonda? Certain people just really have the ability to push your buttons. And Dr. Ying says, you know, the only reason that person is able to push your button is because you let them. And
right.
At first I'm like, absolutely not. I don't ever let somebody push my buttons. And he's like, so why do you have a button in the first place? And the minute he said that, I went, I don't know. It was so simple. So standing right there in front of me, and his point was, it really is true. The only reason that people are able to push your buttons is because you allow yourself to have a button in the first place. And that's really what happens when you're letting naysayers affect you. So he basically told me to close my eyes and to visualize what my button looked like and where my button was located. So I close my eyes and I start to feel it. Okay, what's my button look like? Well, to me, my button was a big red button, kind of like the size of a clown nose, that was kind of where my diaphragm is, right in the center of my chest area, stomach area. And my button wasn't attached to me. It was as if there was a board that I was standing on that had another board coming straight up from the ground on a 90-degree angle. And at the top of that board, right where my diaphragm is, was this big, giant red button. And I could see it clearly. And for most of my life, I'd walk around standing on this board, kind of rolling around, and that button would never come in contact with me. But it was almost like it was on kind of a springboard, so certain people could push it. And sometimes it would come in contact lightly. Other people would, like, punch it, and it would go right in, and boy, would that hurt, right? So he said, keep your eyes closed and imagine what it would be like for you to shield this button. So I sat down, I thought about it, and first I tried to put something over the button, but the minute I did that, certain people could break what I put over it, and it would still come in contact with me. But the minute I realized that I could put a pillow between the button and me, no one could push that button because the pillow was there preventing it from touching me. They could touch the button all they wanted, but it would no longer affect me. So he said that anytime I knew I was going to be in contact with someone that would be able to push my button, I needed to spend a little bit of time visualizing this pillow between my button and me so that that couldn't happen. And eventually, I would get to the point of being in contact with people who normally could push my button, and yet because of the pillow, it wouldn't happen. And once I'd had that happen a couple of times, I would then be ready to actually find a way to remove my button entirely. And sure enough, it was exactly the way that he said it. I spent the time before I was going to this event imagining that pillow being stuffed in there, extra padding in the pillow, so that there would be no way that this person could push my buttons. And sure enough, I went, I was in contact with the person, and not once the entire weekend did my button come in contact with me. So a couple months later, I'm going to come in contact with somebody else who always did a great job of pushing my buttons. And Dr. Ying reminds me again, don't forget to get your pillow in there so that that button can't come in contact with you. Well, after that second time of having that work, I decided, you know, maybe I don't need my button at all. That way nobody can push my button. And I spent some focused time really looking at how to remove that button. And for the last year and a half, I've not had a button, so no one is able to push it and have it impact me the way that it normally does. And it's been absolutely wonderful to not have to live with a button. Did I lose you, Rhonda?
No, I'm sorry. My stepfather is running around with his big machine, and I'm muted. But I forgot. I said they can't push a button if you don't have one to push.
Right. So for those naysayers in your life, if you can do the same kind of exercise to prevent them from being able to push a button and eventually find a way to remove your button, there's no way that those naysayers are ever going to impact you at all. You can't change them. You can't make them stop telling you that what you're doing is worthless and what you're doing is stupid. But you can choose to protect yourself from that impacting you.
Right. Yeah, and I definitely agree. There's no way we can control other people. And I remember not too long ago being on a call where a student, it was one of your calls, and somebody was saying, well, whatever you guys say, it's easy, and it is, and it makes me feel like I'm stupid. And I'm like, well, we don't make you feel anyway. That's your choice. No one's saying
you're
stupid. Some of your emotions are something that you can learn to master. And so it brings to a point of all of this really is about self-mastery. The same thing with Alyssa Sisney when she took the ICE weekend. She had clearly worked on her mindset so that she was in her own power zone. Certainly nothing else really significantly changed. I mean, she is a world-class figure skater, had the same type of coaching, the same type of daily practice, the same health routines, the same lifestyle routines, but changing that one thing made such a huge difference in the results that she got so that she was able to show how beautiful and elegant she is on the ice. And it was, I had tears in my eyes watching her because it was so powerful to be able to see what she accomplished. And no, that was just all mindset. It was just all simply her decision. I'm not going to think about anyone else. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care how much pressure the media puts on me. I don't care what they say about how crappy last year was, you know, whatever. None of it matters. So that makes a huge difference.
There's another study on the idea of happiness and how others can impact your happiness that you'll find at askggg.com/happiness2, and it's the number 2, happiness2. And very similar study to the first one that I mentioned. This one studied people over a 30-year time period. And one of the things that this study recognized was that you go through stages in your life where different stages allow you, or as you move through these stages, you have a difference in how you perceive happiness. And one of the things that this study found was that as you get older, beyond the age of 50 to 55, you tend to be happier. And one of the reasons for it is a great quote in this article. It says, Charles thinks that feelings like angst, disgust, and anger may fade because as we get older, we learn to care less about what others think of us, or perhaps because we are more adept at avoiding situations we don't like. And that's really true. As you age and as you get older, you start realizing that other people and what they think about you really don't matter, that you create your own reality. And so it doesn't impact you as much as the same person and their words would have impacted you if you were, say, 14 or 15 years old.
Right. Right. Yeah, and you can respond differently to pressure and differently to things. You know, there can be a little more challenge when you're dealing with family members sometimes or in-laws, or certain types of people are going to maybe be a little more challenging than others, but that doesn't mean that it cannot be overcome. And certainly in the example we have from Bob, you know, that Bob Krantz is, he had naysayers, but he stayed true, and at various times it seemed like everything was collapsing. In fact, there's another clip I have. I don't know if I'll play it today, but there's another clip I have. It's really kind of a dark night of the soul when things were getting so tough, and here is his wife pregnant with triplets and all this stuff. There's a line in the film that he wrote about where the character that he played was saying, sometimes you just have to face reality and give up on your dream, because that's how the character was feeling. And he said when he wrote that, he was at a high point in his life and couldn't imagine feeling it. And when he was acting that part, he was really living it at that moment. And it was clear it was the most poignant moment in the whole movie, it really, as far as an emotion where you went, oh, man, get past this, you know. So those things will happen, and it's all up to you how you decide to do it and deal with it.
Yeah, really, that it's all up to you. And so you need to know that naysayers are going to be part of your life, whether you like it or not, whether you know them or not. And you need to do what you can to keep your mindset in an abundant, positive way so that it can have a much smaller impact on you and the achievement of what you want. It is our destiny to be happy, abundant, positive. We are wired to be optimistic and to look at the good, not the bad. When we're first born, that is how we are when we are born. It's from your life experiences and all of the things that you have come in contact with that by the time we're middle-aged people, we tend to look at the negative more than the positive. We tend to see the bad more than we see the good. And it's really from your environment, your upbringing, as well as what your genetic predisposition is. If you can really remember that our destiny is to be happy, abundant, positive, and rich beyond our wildest imaginations, not in a material way, but in a more psychological and spiritual way, it will make it much easier to keep bringing your mindset back to an abundant, positive state where you can experience happiness in an abundant way.
I really want to play this clip from Scott Armstrong. I was going to play last week, but we didn't get to it. But it fits in so well here. He's talking about a point where he was going for his dream, but yet he was getting really tired. He was feeling he was in a marathon at about mile 16. So let me show you what happened and what he did to turn himself around when he just felt like he didn't have another ounce of strength.
Well, I'll tell you that I have, actually I started studying the powers of the mind when I was a kid, which I know sounds, you know, kind of odd for a lot of folks, but I really have. And so a lot of my life I've thought, gosh, the mind is so powerful. And if it's true what they've always said, that you use maybe 10% of the capacity that you have, and which, you know, is probably pretty close to, right, and that most of the thoughts tend to be negative, I notice that in times when things are going on that would seem to make you think, well, perhaps you should live in fear like everybody else, but yet I'm in a space where most of my thoughts are toward the future, towards creating good things, towards recognizing the abundance that I have in my life, recognizing how wealthy and prosperous that I am. And, of course, we all know the things happening in the economy, but how we think is our choice. And we are ultimately responsible for our thoughts, our words, our deeds. And really starting with those thoughts, I notice in the way that I speak that it's very different. An example I've shared on this show is recently was wanting to remind somebody about something, and whereas most people would say, don't forget your water or whatever, I said, remember your water. And even in that, in the way that I'm speaking is different because I'm affirming what is that we want, not what we don't want. Say, not saying don't forget your keys, but remember your keys, or things of that nature. So I noticed it in there. I noticed that I have an amazing bounce back from things that might seem to be perhaps a setback or a difficulty, where I know that's just opening up my life for something better to move in and to come in. And the only way to make room for new and better is to get rid of old and clutter and anything that's holding you back.
Get rid of that stinking thinking.
Yeah, exactly. And Scott, you have an amazing story about the power of affirmations. You dedicate an entire chapter of Boston Marathon or Bus to it. I'd love for you to share your story.
Right. Before we go into that, Rhonda, I just want to, another thing I share with my clients, it's been very helpful, is that when you're doing the affirmations, you're taking control of your thoughts, you're feeding your mind with the affirmations, the good books, the CDs. What happens, as I mentioned, the stinking thinking goes away because all these positive thoughts kind of just take over your mind and the negative thoughts can't come in again, and it just crowds them out.
Right.
And that's so important. That's why you just start doing the affirmations daily and just see what happens. Take the challenge. And we just gave you some good ones today. But my book, Boston Marathon or Bust, never would have come about if it wasn't for affirmations. And the biggest dream of my entire life was to qualify for and run the Boston Marathon. It took me 12 years to get there. And I finally did it. I hired a coach, and that's the last chapter of my book. You have to have a coach or a mentor to take it to the next level. And I hired a U.S. Olympian, got after it, qualified for Boston. But during that process, it wasn't easy. Success isn't easy.
No.
And so here I am. I was in the best shape of my life. I'm in Chicago. I finally got smart, and I picked a flat marathon. The other ones I ran were like the Big Sur, Catalina Island, these silly marathons. And my coach said, Scott, let's just pick a flat course and let's go for it. So chose Chicago. Had a great running partner, Dr. David Shank. We trained for about 4 months. I was never more ready for anything in my entire life. I wanted it. I knew this was the time. And a marathon is 26.2 miles. It's a long way.
Yep.
And I had to run an average of 7-minute miles for that whole time frame, and it's not easy. But here I am. I'm right on pace at mile 16. And at mile 16, all of a sudden, the wheels were falling off the bus. I wasn't feeling good. The stinking thinking started to come in. Why are you doing this? What are you doing out here? You jerk. All that stuff that starts, the negative thinking just started to, you know, bombard my mind. And all of a sudden, I just pivoted. I did the flip switch. I said, Scott, come on. Let's get the positive thinking going. And all of a sudden, Scott, you can do it. You're the best. You're a winner. Over and over and over again, I'm getting stronger and stronger. So I just bombarded my mind with all these positive affirmations, positive self-talk, if you will. And I had 10 miles to go. So 10 miles, I became my own best friend and just started to talk to myself instead of listening to myself. So long story short, I qualified for Boston, achieved the biggest dream of my life, and if it was not for the affirmations, I never would have accomplished that goal. Never, ever. And it was just an incredible experience, and it's one of the, again, one of the biggest accomplishments in my life, and it's not easy.
That really is. What a fantastic clip.
Yeah, 12 years to qualify, and then there he is in the middle of it, you know, the body given out and the mindset. And it's so true. A lot of times people hear thoughts running around in their head and just go, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I really do suck. It's really awful, whatever, instead of actually taking control. So you don't have to let your thoughts run rampant like a aggravating toddler.
Wow. Great clip. I can't believe this show is almost over again.
I know. It's just amazing. But this is really good. So on that road of trials, you fortify yourself. You deal with the naysayers by fortifying yourself. Don't make there be a button to push. Don't make there be something that you're going to give up because of what other people say. And don't be afraid that people can have an effect on you, but definitely fortify and strengthen yourself so that you can be in your own zone of power through any situation.
And, you know, this is where having a mastermind group can really make such a big difference. Being a part of a community of people who really are there to support you, who are cheering you on as much as you are cheering yourself on, can make all the difference in the world and let you really overcome any naysayers and their negativity. If you're not involved in a group of people as a mastermind that meets on a regular, consistent basis, I really want to encourage you to find that group of people right now. Don't let 2011 pass completely without finding that kind of group to be a part of. And if you can't find one, start one. There are some awesome, abundant, positive people in the Directions University community on directionsview.com. It's a great place to go to the forum, directionsview.com/forum, and get involved and get started talking with people who could become your mastermind partners. We have a new community that Rhonda and I are a part of on a site called howtoliveonpurpose.com. And every person on howtoliveonpurpose.com is really there because they want to live their life on purpose and they want to live a life that they find fulfilling. So join one of the communities and really go find those people that can become your biggest allies.
Yes. Absolutely.
So, Rhonda, with that,
we
will wrap it up
today.
I am looking forward to Ellen Violette next week. I have not talked to Ellen in probably 3 years, so I'm really looking forward to having her as our guest next Tuesday here on Relationship Marketing 101 on Blog Talk Radio. I have a wonderful course on mindset in the Miracle Motivational Package at AbundantPositivity.com and a more in-depth workshop-type course that can really walk you through creation of the abundant, positive, success-oriented mindset that you need to live a life that really is happy, on purpose, and fulfilled. And you'll find it at AskGGG.com/mindset. And Rhonda, I want to thank you again for helping to bring our amazing guests to Relationship Marketing 101 and for digging out of our archives these awesome clips. They've really, really, really been great to hear this month.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed doing this, and I do, of course, I get to repurpose it too. It's great. Be safe, everybody, and we look forward to having you back next week.
Stay warm.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.